Welcome to the Planet Prana Yoga and Meditation Podcast with your host, Zen Jen. My mission is to spread awareness about the practice of yoga and to shine a spotlight on the amazing yoga community of Cleveland, Ohio. Practice, connect, grow, and heal. Hi everyone, I am Zen Jen, and this is episode 16 of the Planet Prana Podcast. Thank you all for listening today. First, I want to once again remind everybody that I'm leading my first group event in over a year on November 27th at the Cultural Center in Tremont. It will be the first of a regular monthly class called the Monthly Mind-Body Reset. And it will be a yoga-based 90-minute practice of Zen Flow and Yoga Nidra. You can find sign-up information on my Facebook page and website, planetprana.com. You can purchase two slots for a discounted rate, so please bring a friend. And I'm also offering $10 off to yoga teachers and YTTs and to my fellow Cleveland Museum of Art staff members. So let's talk about this episode. Episode 16 is all about Ayurveda. Ayurveda is a sister science of yoga and has profoundly impacted my life in a positive way over the last several years. This is a subject I'm passionate about, and I feel it's important to get the word out about it. There really isn't anyone who wouldn't benefit from this knowledge. For this episode, I'm excited to share a conversation with Marissa Mealy, who is a local Ayurvedic health counselor here in Cleveland. I hope this is the first of many conversations with Marissa for the podcast. I recently participated in her Ayurvedic cooking workshop series, and she has really inspired me to make better and more conscious choices in the kitchen. We cover a lot in this conversation, so I'll be posting lots of resources on the show notes on the website. So in our conversation, we discuss Marissa's story and how she came to the practices of yoga and Ayurveda. What is Ayurveda? How it helped her heal? Ayurveda and digestion? The Ayurvedic diet and eating with the seasons? Using Ayurvedic food lists for doshas and seasons as a framework, how to find your individual dosha or constitution, the idea of opposites in Ayurveda, food cravings, Ayurveda tips to stay balanced in the fall, Ayurveda skincare, and we talk about Marissa's Ayurvedic practice here in Cleveland and her current offerings. So look on the show notes for lots of links to resources, to Marissa's bio and her her website, which is 5 Prana Ayurveda. Some reminders before we begin the episode. The podcast lives at my website, planetprana.com, where you'll also find information about the CLE Yoga Teachers Kula and a directory of local yoga teachers and studios and schools. If you listen on iTunes, I will please ask you to consider leaving a review to help me get the word out. Please consider sharing with friends and family who you think may enjoy or benefit from the content of this podcast. You can always share via email or on social media. And as always, feel free to reach out to me anytime via email. planetprana@gmail.com. And finally, I like to always remind us of our true nature. You are a radiant and boundless being of light and vibration. Be guided by love and compassion for yourself, for all beings, and for our beautiful home, the planet Earth. Thank you once again for listening and enjoy episode 16.
Satana Karata Buddha
Everyone, I am here with Marissa Mealy of Five Prana Ayurveda here in Cleveland. So thank you very much for talking with me today, Marissa.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Jen.
It's a pleasure. I love your work. So I just want to ask first and foremost a little bit about your story. So you want to tell my listeners about your yoga story, how you came to the practice of yoga and Ayurveda and to teaching?
Sure. So I actually started very young. My mom took me to my first yoga class when I was 13, and I was one of those people that just got hooked instantly. I thought it was amazing, and I started practicing with VHS tapes. So this was back in the 1995. So wow. I had Ali McGraw's Yoga Mind and Body VHS tape, and then some tapes with Patricia Walden and Rodney Gee. So that was kind of the first couple of years. I just watched those tapes and followed along. And then I decided my mom was wanting to do yoga teacher training. And she asked me if I wanted to join. And they had asked my teacher, Joanne Evans, who's at the Deerfield Beach Yoga Center down in Florida where I grew up. And I was your youngest student ever. I was 15 when I started the teacher training, and then I was 16. By the time I graduated, I was 16, just how my birthday ended up falling.
Wow.
So I was, yes, did my teacher training when I was 15 and 16, and then started teaching when I was in college. So when I was 18 and 19 and 20, taught while I was in college. And then I mostly was just kind of doing my own practice for a long time, fell away from teaching, and then in the last 2.5 years or so, I decided to start learning about Ayurveda. I had a trip to Sedona for my birthday and was very inspired by the energy there and wanted to make some big changes in my life. Was feeling like I was living in an unbalanced way and that, you know, I was starting to feel health effects from that way of living. And I had known about Ayurveda for my yoga training, but just very, very basic things. And when I got back from Sedona, I picked up my first book, The Thought Lad, by The Thought Lad, and I was hooked ever since. And now I'm studying with Dr. Lena Sitar of the Ayurveda Integrative Wellness Institute in Pittsburgh, doing my Ayurveda health counselor training. So,
yeah,
which I'm getting near the end of, which is great.
Yeah, when are you finishing that training?
So that will I'm most likely going to be getting my certification next month, but it will be all done by at latest, February.
Wow, that's incredible. I love that you did your teacher training with your mom. That is really wonderful.
Yes. And she's been, you know, I mean, she is like my yoga buddy. We always go to yoga whenever we see each other.
And, wow.
We've gone to the Shivananda Ashram together a few times. She went to a Panchakarma cleanse with me. Back in July. So I love having her there. She's a great support. And, you know, she always says, aside from the gift of life, the other greatest gift she ever gave me was yoga. And I completely agree.
That's amazing. Wow. I love that. In an interview for the podcast I'm releasing tomorrow, my brother said the same thing, that the gift of yoga was one of the most important life events for him.
True.
Yeah, that's great. So let's go a little bit into Ayurveda. So that's really what I want to talk about today. Can you give my listeners kind of as brief as you can, a detailed description of what Ayurveda is?
Okay. So Ayurveda, a lot of times, is called the sister science to yoga. Mark mm-hmm. Halpern, who's one of the leading Ayurvedic educators, says kind of the two sides of the same coin, yoga and Ayurveda. So Ayurveda is sometimes referred to as the Indian version of Chinese medicine. Sometimes that's what I say to people who have no idea about yoga or Ayurveda and never even heard the word.
Yeah.
That's kind of a simple way to put it. And it's interesting, Ayurveda to a lot of people means so many different things, but mm-hmm. it's really about how do we live our life in a balanced way, mm-hmm. Which is about all the things that go into our life. Our routine of waking up, when we're eating, what kind of foods we're eating, how we are going about our day, what's our stress level, how can we live in a more balanced way, and a balanced way that's unique to us. So in Ayurveda, there are three doshas, which are the constitutions, and we each have a unique combination of these three doshas that mm-hmm. we are born with that will stay that same way throughout our life. So we're not going to necessarily change these, who we are inherently as people and how our constitution is made up, but that we want to get back to that state of balance for each of us. So we start in Ayurveda by learning about what our dosha is, what our unique constitution is, mm-hmm. and then starting to realize where areas of imbalance come from and how we can detect those in our own body so that we can make changes to live in a more balanced way.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a great description. I love the comparison to the Chinese medicine. That's brilliant.
Yes, because it's one of the oldest forms of medicine. It's been around, some say 6,000 years, some people say 5,000 years. It's an old form of medicine that's been, that has been continuously practiced in India, since its inception, which is pretty amazing.
That is amazing. So you mentioned that you came to Ayurveda several years after you came to yoga, even though you had learned about it, but you read Dr. Vasant Lad's book, which I've read as well. And how did you feel some big transformations and healing when you started implementing some of these Ayurvedic tools into your lifestyle?
Yes. I was amazed. And one of the things that I loved about learning about Ayurveda, and one of the things Dr. Monica Halpern says, is it gives us language to what we already know. Mm-hmm. And when I was reading things, I was like, of course, this makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. I'm somebody who is always hot. I run hot. Very easy for me to get sweaty and hot. So why should I eat hot and spicy foods and things that exacerbate that? I should be cooling myself down. Mm-hmm. And when I started learning about these things, I was instantly feeling changes, and then you also feel changes over long-term implementation of these kind of principles into your life. So it's incredible. Like we go years and years feeling unbalanced, and then we aren't going to necessarily change all of these ways that we have caused our body to go out of whack in just a few months. It's going to take a long process.
Yeah.
So I did instantly see results. One of the biggest things is I lost 30 pounds. So weight loss is a lot of people come to Ayurveda for weight loss. That is something that's going to happen. But, that was one of the immediate effects I saw. But really, my digestive health felt so much better, which is the reason I came to Ayurveda to begin with, I was having a lot of digestive issues. And I knew that the foods I was eating were not working well with my unique constitution. I have a sensitive stomach, so I have to be very careful about the foods I eat. And Ayurveda really shined a light on certain foods that I was eating mm-hmm. that were causing me to have bad reactions in my body. And in Ayurveda, everything is about our digestive health. It begins and ends with that digestive health. The food that we're putting in our body is medicine. We consider food medicine in Ayurveda. So paying attention to those things that we're putting into our body and how our digestion is doing is really the barometer for our health in Ayurveda.
Yeah, absolutely. I myself came to intensely practice Ayurveda for weight loss, and I had a lot of success with it too. I lost about 30 pounds over a period of a couple years, though. It happened very gradually. which I think for me is a better way to lose weight, where it feels more like it'll stay off because of these habits that I've adapted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you mentioned about the Ayurvedic and eating and your digestion. So let's talk a little bit about the Ayurvedic diet how, you know, healthy eating and food is medicine. I don't have any specific question, but if you want to just maybe explain what the gist of balancing your digestion is with Ayurveda.
Sure. So in Ayurveda, we call the digestive fire Agni, which means fire. So we want to make sure that when we put food into our stomach, that it's going to be properly digested. So it means that we're going to have good elimination, that we're going to have good absorption of minerals and nutrients from our food, and that it's not going to be painful when we're eating. We're not going to have indigestion. We're not going to have heartburn. We're not going to have acid reflux. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have constipation or diarrhea. We're not going to have these negative side effects from eating foods that are incompatible with our unique constitution. Mm-hmm. So everybody is going to have certain foods that are going to cause them to have adverse reactions. But generally, for everybody, the Ayurvedic diet is about cooking your own food. Mm-hmm. So cooking at home, making your own food, trying to eat things that, you know, are organic and pesticide-free if you can. Not using refined sugars and flours, instead using things like honey, although you should never cook honey, but mm-hmm. honey as a sweetener, or maple syrup, or turbinado sugar, which is sugar in the raw. And it's also about eating at specific times. We want to have a routine. A lot of Ayurveda is really about routine, waking mm-hmm. up at the same time, doing the same things, because when we have this routine, it trains our body. To know when to digest. We're going to have proper elimination at specific times of the day, because we're always eating at the same times every day. So these type of routine parts of the lifestyle are really nice and balancing for the body. So you're going to eat at the same time. Mm-hmm. You're going to eat spices that are going to help stoke that digestive fire. Mm-hmm. So the spice cabinet is often called the pharmacy in an Indian Ayurvedic household.
I love that.
Because all the spices have incredible medicinal benefits. You know, fennel seeds are really good digestive aid. Ginger is really helpful for nausea. So a lot of times we actually chew ginger before we eat. It gets the saliva in your mouth going. So when you're going to eat food, it's nice to have, we call that bodhika kapha in our mouth, which is the saliva in our mouth. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's priming us to start eating. It's already starting peristalsis, which is the movement of the intestines in the body. So that's one of the things we do. Having ginger tea or chewing ginger before you eat stokes that digestive fire. And then, you know, eating healthy, wholesome foods. You know, foods that come from the produce section of your grocery store, not those middle aisles. And that you're making these foods fresh whenever is possible. I think sometimes it can be really daunting for people, especially when we have, you know, we work. How are we going to create food for ourselves every day, especially lunch? You know, a lot of times we have to get that on the go. So, you know, just trying to eat as much as possible in this way, or, you know, bringing your lunch, things that you made yourself, and, you know, those are ways to kind of help, you know, with the time as being an issue.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that's fabulous. That's really good information. So let's talk a little bit about sticking with the kind of the diet and eating. I'm going to ask a two-part question. One being, how does one learn their individual dosha or constitution? And then you can talk a little bit about eating based on your dosha for digestive balance.
Finding out your individual constitution, there's you know, one way is to go to an Ayurvedic practitioner or health counselor to have them, you know, they'll basically diagnose what your constitution is, what your dosha is. Mm-hmm. But you can also pick up books. I think that there's some great books out there by Robert Svoboda.
Yeah.
Dr. David Frawley or Vasant Lad, where you're going to read about these different doshas. And then I think when people start to read about it, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm Pitta or I'm Vata. They see those things in themselves.
Yeah.
So most people, 70% of people are going to be dual doshic. So you're going to be two different doshas.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 20% of people or 25% of people are monodoshic, so one dosha. And then about 5 to 10% of people are going to be tridoshic. So I mean, they have equal proportions of all three doshas.
Mm-hmm.
So most people are dual doshic. And you can, you know, there are quizzes to take online, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the best method is to go to a practitioner, health counselor, or Ayurvedic doctor to get the most accurate. But I think that people can do it on their own, or, you know, especially if you have, you know, you can think honestly about yourself. You know, I think that people usually read it and they're like, yeah, I'm like that one, or I'm kind of like this one and that one.
Yeah.
So, it's also it's important to know your dosha. You want to eat, you know, in line with what your dosha is. But, you know, you don't have to be too crazy about it either, you know. The differences in what you eat really has a lot to do with, you know, where imbalances are in your body. So even, so I'm a Pitta person, and I have a little bit of Vata, so I'm Pitta Vata.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have a Kapha imbalance. So
yeah.
I might want to be eating more of a Kapha-type diet because I'm having that imbalance. So, you know, some things will change based on what's going on individually with your body, not to get too confusing.
it can be, yeah.
It can be very confusing at times. But I think that if people start to read about them, just trust your intuition. You know, you'll probably see that you feel like you're one, you know, more like one, and then maybe a little like another one. So you're probably a dual doshic person. So when we're Ayurveda also with the doshas is applied to the seasons. So each season is associated with a different dosha. So I know a lot of times if we're dual doshic, we want to then eat with the season. So if you're a Vata Pitta person, Vata is associated with the season of fall.
Yeah.
So a Vata Pitta person in fall wants to eat more of a Vata pacifying diet because it's the time of year where Vata can become imbalanced because it's that season. Winter time is the Kapha time of year. Also early spring. So spring is divided between Pitta and Kapha. So the early spring when it's still cold is associated with Kapha. And it makes sense. Kapha is associated with the moisture in our body. And in the colder months, we tend to have a lot of sinus congestion. There's a lot, Kapha is also associated with the lungs. So this is the time of year when we get a lot of colds, a lot of flus, a lot of congestion in the lungs. So it's a time when we want to eat a Kapha pacifying diet to offset that all that excess moisture in the body. Pitta is associated with the summer and then the late spring. So it's the time of year when it's hot, so we want to eat cooling things. So when we're looking at the dual doshas, paying attention to the seasons is one way to eat, and then also paying attention to how we're feeling and different imbalances that are happening in our body.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you brought up the seasons, too.
Yeah. So I think that, does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely answers the question.
Okay.
One thing that I've learned, I just want to mention, and this happened kind of over time, is you develop a certain awareness about the way your body reacts to your environment. Like the food you eat, the temperature outside, the winds, like all kinds of things happening around you that you normally wouldn't pay attention to. And that's one of the things that Ayurveda taught me specifically. And the more aware I became, the more I understood about my doshas and how things reacted. And I love how Ayurveda really sees everybody individually. But it makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, it can be a little bit intimidating when you're first learning it, especially when you start to second guess what your dosha is. So I love that you said, trust your intuition, because most of the time I think it's correct, really.
Yes, it is. It is. And I think that a lot of times we look at one of the things I always tell people is you'll see online, they'll have them online too, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha food lists. So you'll mm-hmm. see these food lists where it says foods to favor and then foods to avoid or to eat in moderation.
Yeah.
Every individual is different. And, you know, one of the things I loved looking at that food list as a framework. It's like, let me try these things out. Let me test out, how do I react when I eat these certain foods?
Yeah.
You know, how does my body feel afterwards? How does my stomach feel? How does my digestion feel? And then see if those things are causing me to have an aggravation, or it's causing me to feel some kind of stomach upset or digestive upset.
Yeah.
Or am I feeling fine? You know, not everything on the list is going to necessarily apply to each person, but it's a nice framework to work off of.
Absolutely.
And just start paying attention to those things. Because I think a lot of times people don't pay attention to how food makes them feel.
No.
When they notice, like, hey, I don't feel so good after I eat that, but they're not putting it together. It's like, I ate that, you know, cheeseburger, and now I feel really, like, heavy and gross, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hello, okay, so don't eat that again. I mean,
Exactly.
I can't tell you how many times I've felt that way and still continued to eat that way for so many years. And like, duh, as soon as I put it together, like, okay, I'm just going to change. I'm not going to eat that anymore because it doesn't make me feel good.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it can point and it can shine a light on something you had no idea about. You know,
right.
I realized so many things. I was like, oh, wow, I'm so glad I know I should cut that out of my diet, or I should eat that infrequently because I see what kind of reaction it's having in my body. And I wouldn't have thought it was that, you know? Like, one of the things for me is garlic. Pitta people are all about fire.
Yes.
One thing I should say, one of the basic tenets of Ayurveda is about this idea of opposites. So if you are a hot person, you don't want to eat hot foods. You want to eat cooling foods. If you're always dry, you don't want to eat things that are going to dry you out more. So there's always this idea of doing something that's the opposite. So that was one of the things I learned with garlic. Garlic is a heating food. It's very pungent, we call it in Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. There's six tastes, and pungent is one of the tastes. And pungent is one of the tastes that Pitta should be very should avoid because it causes a lot of issues like acid reflux and digestive upset for people who already have a lot of fire in their body, like a Pitta person.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I feel that. And I crave, the other thing I noticed, because I'm also Pitta is my primary dosha, and I crave garlic. Like I want, you know what I mean? And I know that I shouldn't eat it or eat a lot of it. I don't have a terrible reaction to it, but I know if I eat too much of it, I will have a reaction to it. Yeah. And would you say that you oftentimes will crave, the dosha that you are, will you crave those types of foods more perhaps?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times you do. So a lot of people are light and airy people. So they tend to crave things like popcorn and chips, these light, airy foods.
Yes.
Where Pitta people tend to crave the hot and spicy foods, the things that are going to heat us up more.
Yeah.
And Kapha people are supposed to avoid sweets because sweets are mucus forming, according to Ayurveda. And Kapha has so much mucus and moisture in the body already. The Kapha people crave sweets. So a lot of times our bodies crave the thing that we don't want it to have. But the interesting thing is that I found when I've changed into an Ayurvedic diet and watched other people also change to an Ayurvedic diet, is that your body starts to crave the things that are good for it.
Yeah.
Once you start giving your body the things that make it feel good, it's like, wait, I feel good now, my body is running well from this food, I'm not having digestive upset. So your body will start to crave those things. And in Ayurveda, one of the things that the body likes to do is self-correct. So when there's six stages to the disease process, according to Ayurveda, and in the first stage, the body will start to crave the things that will help it balance.
Mm.
Because the body feels that things are going out of balance, so it starts to crave certain foods. So it's important to pay attention to cravings because sometimes it's cluing our body into something we may need, especially if it's something that's healthy and we know is not like, yeah, eating, you know, French fries or like a bunch of ice cream or something. you know, if we're having cravings for good things, that's probably a reason why our body's telling us to eat them.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. That's really, really good information. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about, so you mentioned the seasons and that fall is the season for Vata. Even, so I find myself, even though I'm not primarily a Vata dosha, that I can go a little bit out of balance in fall. And I find that with a lot of people in with fall. Can you talk a little bit about some tips for most people, for let's just say for everyone, to try and stay balanced as we transition from the warm weather into the cool weather for the season of fall?
Sure. And you're very right. Most of us will, you know, feel some kind of sense of imbalance during this time of year. Vata is considered sometimes the ruler of the doshas because Vata controls all the movement in our body. So it's very common for people to, no matter what your dosha is, your constitution is, to feel imbalance at this time of year. So because it's an airy time, it's very windy, it's starting to get cold, we want to do things to combat that. So we want to start eating warm food. So this is a time of year where we want to have like nice warm oatmeal for breakfast. Start having soups and stews, warm cooked foods. Ayurveda always stresses eating warm cooked foods. Raw foods are really considered to be eaten as a side dish, not as a main meal. So in Ayurveda, we would never eat a salad as our lunchtime meal, just eat a salad, because it's just too much raw. And it's, particularly in this time of year, raw foods are really light and airy. So it's a time when we really want to eat cooked foods. Personally, I have a hard time telling people not to eat salads because salads are good for us, but they're not bad for you. And, you know, I want people to eat nice, healthy, nourishing foods. But according to Ayurveda, this is the time of year when we really want to cut back on eating so much raw and instead have the vegetables lightly steamed, you know, or just have them be warm and cooked. Having curries this time of year and kind of a soupy preparation are really nice. We also, our skin tends to get really dry. So in Ayurveda, one of the things that we do daily as part of our daily routine, which we call Dinacharya, which goes along with the waking up at specific times and eating at specific times, is oiling our body. So putting oil on our skin as a way to moisturize and protect our skin. So that's one of the things that's really nice to do is to, and even warm up the oil. So one of the things you can do is you can buy oil at Whole Foods, like an organic oil. Sunflower oil is the most neutral oil of all. So for any dosha, that can be fine. For Vata people, sesame oil tends to be the best. And for Pitta people, olive oil or coconut oil are really good. And kapha, a corn or a safflower oil. But really, you can use, you know, any type of oil and warm it up in, like, a cup of hot water. Like, put the bottle in a little hot water, and you'll warm it up and put it on your skin. And it feels wonderful, and it's a great way to, you know, to nourish our skin and to combat that dry skin that happens in the colder months.
Yeah. I actually, that's one of the practices that I do every day is the Abhyanga oil massage. It helps me stay grounded and it makes my skin feel fabulous.
Yes.
I absolutely love it.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you for those tips. And I love that you brought up some skincare, and I wanted to just talk a little bit about Ayurveda and skincare, because I know you mentioned for the next year with some of your workshops, you're going to be doing a little, some workshops with the Ayurveda and skincare.
Yes. So, yeah, my next series of workshops will be all about Ayurveda and skincare. And skincare is really, really important in Ayurveda. You know, our skin is our largest organ. In Ayurveda, you know, we talk about it as a digestive organ. And this was something that I really had never even thought about until I started learning about Ayurveda, was how important the products I'm putting on my skin are, just yeah. as the foods that I'm putting in my mouth are. So I've made a big transition over the last few years to all natural products, mm-hmm. And I've seen such a difference in my skin. I have a mild case of psoriasis, and I have seen such improvement on my psoriasis from using natural products. And that I was having, adverse reactions. And one of the things I learned too through, and I know you had read this book as well, called Absolute Beauty by Pratima Rachor, who owns a spa in Soho and makes incredible all-natural Ayurvedic products, was she has in her book all the list of common ingredients you'll find in skincare and beauty care products that are known carcinogens, that are, like petroleum is made with petroleum oil. There's things that we don't necessarily think of, and we're putting it on our skin. So that really is something that Ayurveda talks a lot about, is using natural products on our skin. Yeah. Oiling our skin, the self-abhyanga. Abhyanga is considered one of the oldest forms of massage, and it's part of the Ayurvedic body therapies and treatments. We can also do it at home, which is a self-massage, self-abhyanga. And then there's also the idea of soap. So soap is something in Ayurveda that we want to use sparingly. So soap tends to just be used in areas where we need it, like our armpits and our feet and places like that. And instead we use lubitans on our, the skin of our arms and our belly and our legs and stuff, but, the non-sweaty parts of our body, need really a soap. We use something called an ubitin is made from different flowers and sometimes almonds and then different oils and herbs. So it's kind of like an herbal rub that you rub on the skin and then wash off. So it's a way to clean the skin that isn't as harsh as a soap.
Yeah, it's like a dry rub almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And
so you get that exfoliation too, which is nice.
Yeah. So where can you find some of these products at? I used to buy Pratima's product, Bindi, I think was the name of the line, years ago. I started using them when I was pregnant with my son, but I stopped buying them. So currently, where can you buy these types of products?
So you can buy Pratima products. She has let the Bindi line go. It's now just called Pratima, and you can find that online. So I think it's pratima.com, P-R-A-T-I-M-A. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hers are the most high-end, though, so they are very expensive.
Okay.
But there are a few books out there. I will eventually be selling my own line of products, too, on my website. That's something I'm working on formulating. But one of the things you can do is some of these books, like Pratima's book, Absolute Beauty. Mm-hmm. There's another book by Melanie Sachs called Ayurvedic Beauty Care. And there are some really simple recipes in there make simple ubitins. It can end up being expensive to, buy all these individual products and make them, or individual ingredients and make them, but there's some really basic recipes in there that are nice.
Mm-hmm.
Pratima is a great resource for, they're higher end, but it's really, really nice products. And then, I eventually will have some out there. And there's some people on Etsy, too. I haven't tried many products on Etsy yet, but there are a lot of people who are making, Ayurvedic beauty care products.
Yeah. I'll have to put a link on the show notes for some of those and yours, especially when you get those up and running.
Awesome. Thank you.
I love how Ayurveda kind of empowers us to be really self-sufficient and experimental, with making our own products. And I made my own facial soap when I was pregnant with my son, just because I didn't want to use any chemicals on my skin. And I developed some acne at the time from the hormone surge, and it really, really helped me. But even so, just from that, I learned a lot of things. I started experimenting with aromatherapy products, and you just, it really empowers you in the kitchen and then with these beauty products to get, to make your own stuff. I love that.
Yes. I think it's, and it's so nice because then you know exactly what is going in it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
Because so, you know, people who are manufacturing, they have to put a lot of preservatives, these different things to make them be able to be shipped everywhere. But when you're just making them for yourself, you don't need all that. You know, you can just put the nice, you know, wholesome ingredients in there.
Yeah, and it's pretty simple. It's really not that intimidating. They're really pretty easy to make, a lot of these products.
Exactly. It is very easy.
So let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about a little bit about what you're doing, the work you're doing here in Cleveland. And I know you're about to wind up your training here, but tell us a little bit about your workshop series. So I have attended one and I'm heading to another one next weekend. So tell our listeners about what your current workshop series is about.
So my current workshop series focuses all on Ayurvedic cooking and being able to implement an Ayurvedic diet at home. So there's a four-part series, and the last one is coming up this Saturday, the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all about cooking an entire Ayurvedic meal. So I've kind of let them sort of build on each other. The first one was all about the spice cabinet. How do we set up our own spice cabinet at home, setting up our Ayurvedic pantry at home so that we can start to cook these foods in our home kitchens. And one of the first things when you start learning about Ayurveda is the spice cabinet. Mm-hmm. You are going to need a bunch of unknown exotic spices you've never used before. And I wanted people to have access to taste these things and to try them out and then also have a spice blend to bring home with them that they can start using when they're cooking.
Yeah.
And then I had the second part in the series was all about making ghee and khichdi.
Yeah.
Khichdi is it's like an Ayurvedic stew almost that we can eat as part of a cleanse. We can eat as part of a fast. We call it a mono diet fast, where you eat khichdi only as part of the fasting process. And then it's also just something that we can eat that's a nourishing meal, you know, as a full meal or as a side dish or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then part three was all on making teas and, you know, having teas at home. In Ayurveda, we don't really talk about having caffeine much, so it's a lot about herbal teas and then making blends for yourself, and that can help for different, you know, doshic imbalances as well.
Yeah, I actually just had a cup of your vata tea that I made at your workshop, and it was absolutely fabulous. And I was feeling a little scattered this morning before the interview, and I was like, oh, I need to get a little grounded here.
Awesome.
And
well,
the tea was
perfect.
Delicious. Yeah, and the great thing I will attest to these workshops is you give us the guidance, but we actually do the work. So which I think helps a lot of people learn when you're trying something new, especially in the kitchen.
Yes. And I know for myself, I was really intimidated to make ghee the first time, and we're going to be making ghee at the workshop that's coming up this weekend, which I know people are really excited about because you'll read recipes for it, but until you experience it and, you know, smell the ghee and see what it's supposed to look like, then you really know, and then you see how easy it is to make ghee, because buying ghee at the grocery store will never, ever be as good as the ghee you make yourself.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's what I'm most excited about, because I've never made my own ghee, and I'm intimidated by making it. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it right. So to be able to do it with you in person, I'm really excited about. Yeah.
Good.
And so your next series, which will be at the beginning of 2017, you're going to be focusing on Ayurveda and skincare. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I really like my workshops to be hands-on, where you get something to take home with you.
Yeah.
So you can start trying these things out at home. So the second series is going to be on skincare, and then that Dinacharya, that routine, so that you have the products you need to start implementing this daily routine at home. So yeah, we're going to be making ubi tins, so those dry rubs for your skin. Mm-hmm. We're going to be making oils and other skincare products that you can use to help, support that Ayurvedic lifestyle at home.
That's fabulous. So speaking of take home things from your workshop, so I have your cookbook, which you published just for your Ayurvedic cooking workshop series. And I have to say, it's a really fabulous cookbook. I'm really, really impressed.
Thank you.
So
thank you so much.
I'm like so proud of you that you did that. It's really inspiring. So where can, and I know that you sell this cookbook now. So tell us, our listeners, where you can purchase your Ayurvedic cookbook.
So you can buy it on my Etsy shop and also on my website. So my website is fiveprana.com, FiveProana, and then also on my Etsy shop, which is Maroozie, MAROOZIE .etsy.com. I also sell it there as well.
Cool. Thank you.
And yeah, I made that, that cookbook. I just wanted, I wanted people to be able to cook things at home that were simple and easy to make, and those are the recipes that I make all the time at home, because I found that a lot of Ayurvedic cookbooks are incredible, but they can be very confusing, and that you need all these crazy ingredients, and
definitely.
I wanted to make something that I knew would be easy for people to make these recipes at home.
Yeah, it's really great. It definitely is. For me, as a Westerner trying to practice these very Eastern practices, it's very accessible. I found all your recipes to be very accessible. One of my favorites so far is the golden milk recipe, which I have been making and consuming almost every evening. My husband is now drinking it as well, so it's absolutely delicious. It's delicious and extremely beneficial to your health and well-being. So thank you.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Yes. I'm so happy to hear that your husband likes it too.
I know. That's a good thing, right? When we can get our partner to kind of get on board with what we're doing here.
And it is.
Okay. So a little bit about, one of the things that really inspires me about you and your life is that you kind of follow your passion. So not just with the yoga and Ayurveda, but prior to that, I wanted to bring up your little side gig of the Maroozie Koozies and the fact that you're also a world beat DJ on Case Western Reserve Radio. What kind of advice would you give to my listeners about kind of following your dreams and living your passion?
Well, I will tell you, I for a long time was not like this, and I would look for all of the obstacles. I was, there was nobody who could have thought of all the ways something couldn't happen more than me, and I allowed that for a long, long time to impede, me doing things that I really wanted to do and was excited about. I was the one holding myself back, so that is the biggest thing is to let go of that negativity and to say, hey, I want to do something and I'm going to, and you have to put the energy and the effort behind it. Ideas are worthless if you don't put in the work. And that's the biggest thing. Let go of all the ways something can't happen and just figure out all the ways something can happen and then put the energy and effort behind it to make it happen.
Yeah, it's really kind of a shift. It's a mindset shift that for me personally, and maybe this is the way for you too, happened over time with my practice, that I started to drop all of the negative thinking, the self-sabotaging, and realizing that, gosh, I am totally capable of doing whatever I want and reinventing myself in any way that I want to. I'm so glad that you shared that, because I was the same way, self-sabotaging, and would talk myself out of just about anything that I wanted to really do and pursue. It's really inspiring to watch you fulfill these dreams and goals, and I'm really proud of you and excited for you, especially here in Cleveland. We need someone like you to inspire us.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. That really means a lot.
You're welcome. I will actually share your, in the show notes, I'll share your Maruzi Koozie stuff. You have an Etsy shop there, right?
Yes.
And then a link to, are you still doing the radio show on Friday afternoons?
Yes, yes. So I still do my radio show on Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 911.
Cool.
Here in Cleveland. So yes, yes.
All right.
That's the most fun. So.
Yeah. And I love that you do the world beat. I'm a big fan of world music myself. I've been listening to it since I was a teenager, and it's a really cool show. You have sometimes a theme and a focus in certain regions of the world, and it's really fun to listen to when I've gotten a chance to listen to it. So I will link some information to that too in the show notes for the listeners.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So let's shift gears a little bit. We're going to go focus on for the rest of the interview, just a few more minutes, about things that you do in your life to help you relieve stress, because I'm trying to give my listeners as many tools as possible. So the first question would be, what do you do personally in your life? Obviously Ayurveda is a big one, but, to relieve stress.
So I practice yoga. I practice yoga daily, so that's definitely a stress reliever, and meditation. And that is something that's taken me a long time to build up a practice in my life, and it's something I'm still working on daily. But meditation, and that I've seen so much. It helped me in times of stressful situations. So it's like I have that moment that, you know, 10 minutes, maybe sometimes 20 minutes where I get to meditate, and then I'm seeing the effects later, which, you know, it's just incredible. So I think it's one of the hardest things to do. I can attest to it. It's very hard for me to carve out the time to do it, but I have been really diligent recently about it, and I'm seeing such incredible results.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's amazing. The routine is the hardest part, is adding it to your routine. Once you add it to your routine, then you're set. And it's not about, for me, and I've learned this from my teacher recently, it's not about what happens in your practice while you're practicing. It's about what happens in your life after you practice, as part of the results of the practice.
Right.
Yeah. Fabulous. Okay, so do you have kind of an in-the-moment tool, maybe when you're dealing with a difficult conversation or heavy traffic or standing in line somewhere? Is there any type of in-the-moment tool that helps you relieve stress?
So I'd say there's two things. The first is pranayama breathing. If I can slow down my breath, it's particularly a belly breathing, you know, that's the kind of breathing that I really recommend for people who are struggling with PTSD or having anxiety attacks, and that really helps me. So if I'm in that moment, especially if I'm really, like, feeling a lot of anxiety or, you know, just a lot of stress, then focusing on my breathing, slowing my breathing down, you know, taking those belly breaths, like reconnecting with my breath and my body so that I can take myself out of my head and bring it back into, you know, my heart and my body. And then the other thing is chanting mantra. I chant mantra all the time. And, you know, especially in my car, one of the things that I love to do, and, you know, I study in Pittsburgh with this Ayurvedic doctor that I train with. And so I have a long car ride. So the thing I've been doing lately is putting on mantra music and, you know, singing along or chanting along with the music. And if I get in traffic, it's a nice thing to have on. I have a CD of mantra chants in my car that, you know, if I'm in some traffic, I'm getting stressed out in the car, you know, I can pop that on and that immediately helps me. So those would be my two tools that I use a lot.
Excellent. Yeah, those are good. Those are great tools. Thanks for sharing. What are you working on in your practice right now, yoga or Ayurveda? Is there something in particular that you're working on?
Yes. well, in Ayurveda, it's the waking up and going to bed on time. Mm-hmm. I am, that is one part of the routine I just cannot, that I struggle with the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on that, a lot. And especially when, you know, when you do have your own business and I work from home, it's hard to separate, like, time to stop working and go to bed you know, so that's the thing that I'm definitely working on, the most, and, you know, and keeping my meditation practice, you know, as much as I can in the routine and daily.
Yeah. Good stuff. What's your favorite resource for yoga? I'm going to ask you both for yoga and for Ayurveda. It's probably a tough question.
That is a tough one. You know, I, for Ayurveda, I would say that one of the things I love is NAMA, which is the National Ayurvedic Medical Association, who they're the people who do the certifications, mm-hmm. for Ayurvedic professionals like myself. But they do a monthly, talk with a different Ayurvedic, you know, doctor or somebody in the field. And then they also have ones on different practices of yoga. Like they had a woman who does yoga nidra, and there was a yoga nidra session. So I really like that. I would also say I have been loving your podcast, and I listen to your loving kindness meditation and your breath awareness meditation. I've been using those as part of my daily meditation practice, and your yoga nidras are great. So I actually really lately have been listening to your podcast all the time.
That's awesome. Thank you.
So that's one of my, and your meditations are really, really nice. I mean, very, very nice.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes.
All right. So yeah, my podcast is a yoga resource. There you go. well, thank you for that. And then this could be a biased question, and maybe you have multiple, but what is your favorite yoga class here in Cleveland?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
I know.
I think there's so many great teachers, and this will be my diplomatic answer first.
Okay.
But my teacher always taught us that there's something to learn from each teacher, and that is incredibly true. And there's been just incredible teachers that I've had here. You know, that's how we met. I was in your yoga class, and your therapeutic classes were incredible. The people who I attend the most, are probably, I love Dana Perry, who has a beautiful voice and does mantra. Lane Houlihan is a wonderful teacher. Jeff Knox, the Vision, I take his classes quite a bit. And, Gary, he does a great class. So mostly I practice at Vision. That's the majority of where I practice, but I have been to most of the other studios around town too, and have had incredible classes from so many people.
Agreed. Yeah, so many great teachers in Cleveland. Envision is a fabulous studio. Absolutely love that studio. Yeah.
Yes. And Jennifer Rimmelstock and Lori Myers there at the Tremont Cultural Center. I mean, they have wonderful classes there too. I love their classes as well.
Yeah, they do. I love both of their classes. Absolutely. Very different styles, but both very talented teachers.
Yes, yes.
I'm flipping back through my questions here, and I forgot to ask you one question, so I'm going to go back. This will be the last question.
Okay.
But this is an important one to get the word out about your work. What services are you're not really offering that much yet, but I know you will be in the future as when you finish your training, but what services, Ayurvedic services, are you going to be offering here in Cleveland?
Yeah, I'm offering Ayurvedic consultations. Mm-hmm. So that's where, you know, you would come to me and, you know, we would talk about your dosha and then talk about ways to bring you individually to create more balance in your life. And you will get a ton of recommendations for everything from what you eat to what kind of yoga poses you do to, you know, breathing practices, meditation practices. It's very holistic. So that's something that, you know, and these things I'm offering now already. So,
oh, good,
you know,
good.
People are welcome to go onto my website and book these services. I also offer Ayurvedic body therapy, like Abhyanga, which is a form of oil therapy, somewhat like a massage, but it's really more about energetics in our body and about the prana in our body. And then also Shiradhara, which Shiradhara is a third eye treatment where a stream of oil is poured over the forehead, and it can actually put us into a very meditative state and has a lot of benefits. You know, when we have a lot of things going on in our minds, for calming our minds. And then I also do, I'm going to be eventually offering full Panchakarma sessions. So Panchakarma is a cleansing therapy that's done in Ayurveda to help when we have kind of deep-seated imbalances that have been going on for a long period of time that need, more deeper therapies. So so I'll be offering all the different types of body treatments, like Udarsana, which is a dry rub, or Garshana, which is done with silk gloves, to sweating therapies, to all the different types of bhaktis, we call them, which is you basically make a well and put oil in it, and it's placed on different areas of the body. So people have lower back pain, we do one on the lower back, or people that have knee pain, we do it on the knee. People who are having, heart pains and things like that, or even just feeling heartache, we do one over the heart center. So there's a lot of different therapies that are used, and they're really more recommended based on what's going on with you individually. So those would be part of the Panchakarma session. So yes, I'm hoping to have a full, it'll be a full clinic of Ayurvedic therapies to offer.
Oh, that's so good to hear. I'm so excited. There's definitely some of those treatments that I've never experienced myself that I've been wanting to. And there's no one in Cleveland offering this stuff. Not one person. You will be it. And I will definitely be pushing your product.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm excited. So excited for this. So we are done. I'm thrilled. What great content. So thank you so much for sharing your time and energy with me.